This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
All right, just a quick reminder here before we get to 2A Tuesday. Absentee voting for April in the general election, the general municipal election, starts today. Now, that is if you're going to, in St. Louis County, if you're going to request an absentee ballot, you can do that starting today to give yourself plenty of time. The in-person voting early doesn't start until, I believe, March 25th, if I'm reading this correct. So it'll be the end of next month before you can go in and vote early in person, but you can request an absentee ballot starting today through St. Louis County, where we got a big election coming up, and we're going to be telling you a lot more shortly about all of the school board candidates who are out there. There's a little Jedi mind trick going on with the NEA claiming in some districts they're not going to endorse this year. Nonsense. They're spending money on these candidates, and don't you buy it for a minute. They're trying to get their own slate of candidates in to these different school boards. And it's never been more important. I mean, there are great candidates running in Wentzville and the Francis Howe District and Rockwood. And we're going to be talking about all of those as we get closer to that election that's coming up in April. And they're also going to have some remote voting locations again in St. Louis County. I imagine some of the others might do that as well. The actual vote is April.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
8th, just to keep that in mind. So now you've got that information. We'll get Rick Stream on to talk more about this in the coming days. Carl, hit it.
If you ban them in the future, the bullets will have been shot and there won't be any more available.
So you don't shoot deer with a bullet that size. If you do, you could cook it at the same time.
Put that double barrel shotgun and fire two blasts outside the house.
That is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
This is 2A Tuesday, brought to you by the Range St. Louis West.
All right, we've talked a lot about the Second Amendment Preservation Act, and then, of course, a court stepped in and declared at least parts of it unconstitutional. There is an effort in the Missouri legislature this year to revive that. And we've got Jared Taylor with us this morning, former state representative working with the Missouri Firearms Coalition. Jared, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Good to have you on this morning. Tell me what what's different in this version of SAPA from the original.
Yeah, so we pared it back. We took what the Eighth Circuit said, and we made it it does the exact same thing that the other former version of SAPA did. And we just said basically what the court said that we could do. So we took out kind of the flowery language and reinserted everything. Didn't call anything. So in the previous version of SAPA, we said that these were infringements. Like if the federal law did these things, like if it took away the rights of citizens, the Second Amendment rights, we called them infringements. We didn't do that because the court said, well, you can't do that. We hold that ability to call those infringements or unconstitutional, but the legislature can't. So we took that language out, put it back in, just said, look, Missouri cops can't enforce federal gun laws. And that's all we said. That's exactly what the Eighth Circuit said we could do. And so that's what we did.
Interesting, because the word shall not be infringed is in the Constitution.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're not allowed to use it.
It's pretty funny. That's right. Yeah, the legislature can't say why we're doing something, according to the court. But we can do it. We just can't tell them why we're doing it.
So, I have a number of friends in law enforcement, and a couple of them are the chiefs of their various departments. And once again, they're opposed to this. So why do you think that is? I mean, they've described it to me as before it was fear of being fined if they, somehow cooperated with federal authorities. I know that was part of their problem with the first version of it. On the second version of it, they brought up things like, well, if they arrest somebody and confiscate a weapon, running the serial number of that weapon in a federal database, they fear would also put them in some sort of violation of this.
We heard that during the first time, and we made provisions in SAPA to allow them to use those databases. In fact, I mean, it's very clear. It's spelled out. Missouri law enforcement can use federal resources in order to enforce Missouri law. We're not relying on the feds. We don't want to take their money to be used by them in order to enforce federal law. But we absolutely can use federal resources to enforce Missouri law. It was a scare tactic, for lack of a better term, that they used the first time. And guess what? When it was in effect for 2 years, and that didn't play out. We had law enforcement across the state using federal partners, using those databases, using those search engines to enforce Missouri law, and we didn't see any lawsuits that were brought against any Missouri law enforcement.
Who would have brought those suits, just out of interest? Because I did hear that concern quite often. There was a fine associated with it. I think it was like $50,000. And if that had ever been levied, who would have been the one bringing that complaint?
It would have been the person that would have been charged with the crime.
Okay.
So a law-abiding citizen who violated federal law that Missouri law enforcement would have enforced.
So is that that language in there again?
There is the $50,000 penalty. Yeah.
Okay.
Of course, because we want to have a penalty mechanism. Because if we don't, then what's the purpose of the bill?
Right.
If we don't hold people accountable, there's no purpose of having the legislation.
So I also remember last time some of the concerns, and I'm thinking of this from memory, was that if a local officer is somehow assigned or loaned to a federal task force, they would no longer be able to do that. Is that right?
So again, that's one of their claims, but that's not accurate. And we had law enforcement across the state last time pull out of task forces but then as a knee-jerk reaction, and then realize, okay, that's not really what it says, and they started going back into these task forces, like drug task forces, for instance. There's a carve-out specifically in SAPA that says if a person, a really bad guy, is selling drugs, is doing drugs, is a manufacturer of drugs, if they're committing an A or B felony drug crime, they can also be charged with a federal firearm crime, and it's not applicable. SAPA does not apply to that person.
Okay.
Because we want to put those bad guys away.
Yeah. Jared Taylor is our guest with the Missouri Firearms Coalition. So where does the bill stand now? Was it introduced in the House or the Senate? Has it had a committee hearing? Where does it stand?
Yep. So it's in both the House and the Senate. We've got mirror bills. Senator Rick Bratton over in the Senate has already had a hearing. Actually, it's already passed the Senate committee hearing. It's going to be on the floor, I would say, within the next couple weeks. And Representative Bill Hardwick has the bill over in the House, and it went through committee already, looking to have a floor or a committee vote probably this week. It'll move on to the Rules Committee probably next week.
Yeah. You know, I'm sure this is something you guys watch out for. I understood that Aaron Dorr was busy today with up on the Hill with some sort of a legislative hearing. But I had an interview earlier. I talked to John Lamping, and he's of the belief that a filibuster in the Senate over this issue with Roundup. It's easier than saying the chemical name. That there may be a filibuster in the Senate over this Roundup bill that could delay a lot of legislation between now and the end of the session.
Yeah, you know, I think that the Senate is watching that, and I think they're going to figure out a way past it like they do all the time. And, yeah. I don't know what that looks like yet, but there's still a lot of time left, and I'm not concerned. I think we're going to get SAPA done this year. There are a lot of people that want it done. The House and the Senate, they all want to get it done. Missouri citizens want to get it done. And so I think it's going to happen this year.
Has the governor said if he'd sign it or not?
You know, he is very strong on Second Amendment, and I don't have any concern that he's not going to sign it.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on that then as this moves along. Jared Taylor, thank you for giving us some time this morning and explaining that.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Take care of yourself. Jared Taylor there with the Missouri Firearms Coalition. They're the ones pushing for this. And, of course, we'll get our friends from the other point of view on this. I got a text just a few minutes ago from my friend Chief Steve Lewis, and he's got some alternative thoughts on what this might do to law enforcement. I'll get him on the air, I promise, maybe tomorrow or later this week, and we'll talk it over.
Get more at 971talk.com.